The Lord, the Father of Light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Last week we began to look at the oracle, and we were able to do a few, at least laid some foundation on that, on the issue of the oracle. And I remember we said basically that the oracle simply means the inner sanctuary or the most holy place. I believe that if not everyone, at least almost every one of us there should be familiar a bit with the temple. Should be familiar a bit with the temple. We should understand a bit of the temple. I will just, like I did last week, I'll just take it very gently. Very gently. It's not something that I have very profound knowledge about. There are things we are also trying to look into and lay our hands on. So I won't, and whatever I'm going to say is it doesn't mean it's a final authority. There are things we should also take time to consider again. Let's be like the burial Christian. The Bible says that those people went back to the scriptures to check and to confirm that those things that were being spoken by Paul are true. So let's not just listen and just go. Let's have a good attitude of going again and looking into what God, into what we are being taught. So last week we saw that the oracle is the inner sanctuary. Like the author of Hebrew told us that there are two temples. The first temple where you have the table, the showbread, the candlestick. And then he told us of the second temple wherein is the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant. And where you have the golden pot of manna, you have the Aaron's rod that budded, and then you also have the testimony, which is the major component of the major thing you find in the Ark of the testimony is actually the two tables of stone. Those are the major, that's the major thing you will find inside the Ark of the Testimony. And then, so we began to look at what is the essence or what is the purpose of the oracle. That it was not just there for being there sick. Let's look at Exodus. I'll just do a brief revision of those things we looked at last week. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. We may not be able to take all the readings, but if you look at verse 10 of Exodus chapter 25, verse 10, God gave Moses instruction. Said they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. So he began to give this prescription on how the ark should be built. And then when you look at verse 16, it says, and thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. The testimony which I shall give thee. So you put it in the ark. And then verse 17 says, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. and make one cherub on the other end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall he make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. So we saw here that one of the major purposes why God asked Moses to build the oracle was for God to meet with Moses, meet with the children of Israel, and so that he might commune, with him. He said, there I will meet thee, and I will commune with thee. If you look at Exodus chapter 30, rather. Chapter 30, verse 36. Exodus chapter 30, look at verse 6. Before we go to 36, let's look at verse 6. Exodus chapter 30, verse 6. It says, and thou shalt put it before the veil. Talking about the ark now. And thou shalt put it before the veil, that is, by the ark of the testimony before the mercy seat, that is, over the testimony where I will meet with thee. This is the second reference that God is saying, showing us why the oracle was needed. Then let's look at verse 36 of that same Exodus chapter 30. Verse 36 says, and thou shalt beat some of it very small. He's talking about the spices. And put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, it shall be unto you most holy. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we establish from this scripture that the purpose of the oracle was for God to meet. God said, there I'm going to meet with you. I won't meet with you in any other place. Now, the word meet is a very, very important word. The word meet there means to meet by agreement or to meet by appointment. God says that I'm making an appointment to meet with you. I'm making an agreement to meet with you in that place. And that is why that tent is also called the tent of meeting. And you describe that they have specific dates, they have specific time for coming. So God is saying that there's an agreement, I'm making an agreement, and there's an appointment. I have an appointment with you to meet with you in the place of the oracle. Now that word is also the word that you use in Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Give us Amos chapter 3 verse 3. You know, very common scripture that many of us should know. Amos 3, he said, can two walk together except they be agreed? That word agreed is the same word that was translated as meet. So when God says that I'm going to meet with you, he's talking about there's an agreement for meeting. We are meeting based on an appointment. Hallelujah. He said, do two walk together except they make an appointment. Can you see that? He said, do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed. So that word is not just a meeting, it's a meeting of appointment. God said, I'm fixing an appointment to meet you there. Because we are making an agreement to meet you there. And there I'm going to commune with you. Hallelujah. Amen. And so those two things, we have established that they are the major purpose. I said the oracle is for the communication of instructions of life. Now, I don't want to go back to everything we looked into last week, but we also saw last week that I said that Adam also had an oracle. We said that Adam also had an oracle because we found from scripture that the Bible said that the Lord came to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. In the cool of the day. You know, and now, you know, a lot of things are interesting when you look at all of these things. The word cool is the word wuha, which is the word wind. Is the word wind. The cool of the day is the word wuha, the wind of the day. It talks about the day that is without sun. It talks about the day of light, but without the heat of the sun. Hallelujah. Listen, one of the purposes of the cherubims in the oracle was not just to be there, is to contain the glory of God, not to kill the man. Now, how do we put this? I'm trying to just find a way of, you know, the Bible said those cherubims, the Bible called them cherubims of glory. It means that those cherubims are accustomed, they understand glory. They can undo glory. So God needed to put them in place to be like a shade. Such that when God is coming, when he's coming with his glory, there are already shock absorber that can contain that. And when the man is having interface with God's glory, he's actually receiving the light without the heat. Hallelujah. You think God doesn't have, God is not just light. He has heat. Bible says our God is a consuming fire. So when God is coming, if he's coming, when the Lord descended in glory, Paul lost his eyes. And the Lord, that is a turned down glory. The Lord that came, he didn't come in the fullness of his glory. He just came and so that Paul will understand that. No, they didn't. When Paul saw the light, what was the next thing he said? He said, "Who art thou, Lord? Who?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't know who was the Lord. That was the question. He said, "You that you are there, you are a Lord. But who are you?" He now said, "I am Jesus." Oh, so you mean the same Jesus is this person that is having this so much glory? That was what he was asking. Amen. It's like when you see, sirens glowing, you know that is not an ordinary person that is passing. But you don't know who the person is. Who is passing? Yeah, that is the governor of those days. Hallelujah. Or you see the man, you now see, maybe you used to have a neighbor. And they say, who is that pastor? And then the person says, sir, you mean, are you the governor? You understand? That was the scenario. The Lord just came. So, we can't contain the fullness of his glory. The cherubims have dwelt with God in glory to, in a degree, and they have a capacity, so they are like a shock absorber. So even in the Garden of Eden, God doesn't just come. He comes, the Bible says, he comes in the cool of the day. He comes in the wind of the day. A day without the heat of the sun. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now, I'm just trying to show us it. We said that Adam had an oracle, and by reason of sin, God drove him out of the Garden of Eden, and then he lost that oracle. He lost that appointment of meeting. He lost that appointment of meeting. Of course, God still communicated with us. We know that God didn't stop communicating with people even after Adam lost the oracle. But we know that communications are in degrees and in dimensions. Communications are in degree and they are what? In dimensions. When we began to see the line of communications of God with people, we began to see communications that are, based on sacrifices. You saw Adam building altars. Even in the fullness of the prophetic spirit of Balaam, it was still a coming of God based on sacrifices, which is a picture of the outer court. Why? Because in the most holy place, they don't offer animals. What they take there is blood.
Balaam didn't offer blood. Balaam offered sacrifices. He killed animals. They don't kill animals in the temple. They kill them outside. Hallelujah. I was sent to think, I never heard of offering of blood, even you look at Cain and Abel. The Bible says that Abel offered to the Lord the best of his whatsoever, but that does not indicate that blood was offered. It doesn't indicate that blood was offered. You can kill animals. It is not every animal that they kill that enters into that place. That? The outside. It's not every sacrifice that they kill that enter into the most holy place. Most of those, especially those daily ones, they sprinkle the altar at the base. I mean, they sprinkle the blood at the base of the altar in the outer court, at the door of the tabernacle. Now, you now see, look at Exodus 29:42. You discover that God does not only meet with them in the most holy place. Look at Exodus 29:42. Let's look at it from verse 38. Let's look at it from verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Now this altar here is the altar at the door of the tabernacle. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually, yes. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering, yes. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shall do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Yet this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation. At where? At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak there unto you. And look at the next verse. The next verse says, and there I will meet with what? Does God meet with the children of Israel in the most holy place? Who has the right to enter there? It is the high priest, and he only has the right to enter once in a year. So, he doesn't, now, is God not communicating with Israel? Where is the communication of Israel coming from? He said, at the door. He said, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I'm saying that there is even a dimension of God's meeting and appointment with people that is not after the order of the oracle. And that is why Solomon could offer. Solomon didn't offer in the holy place. Solomon offered at the tent, at the door tent, I mean at the outer court, and fire came from heaven. When Elijah called fire from heaven, did he offer blood? The Bible says he killed the ram, and he killed the animals rather, and then they didn't take the blood to be sprinkled anywhere, and yet fire came. I'm saying God still come. It doesn't have to be at the order of the oracle. But so we say, damn Lord is oracle to sin, and then the oracle was original Lord because of sin. Therefore, atonement became the basis for the oracle. So atonement became the basis for the assessment. I said, of course, it's not there in the scripture, but I said you have, what do we have in the oracle? You have the testimony, and I said that was the basis for the coming of God. That was the reason why God was coming. That was what the agreement was based upon. And I said that the reason why God was visiting Adam was because God had a property with him, and which was the nature that God gave to him. And because of that nature, God could come from time to time and commune with Adam and speak to him. Which, when sin interfered, there was a virus that entered into his system. He lost his purity, and you know, many other things came into being, and God drove him out, and he lost that level of communion and communication with God. And then, of course, we had God come. But when God came again in the time of Israel, God brought that same pattern to the children of Israel. But we now saw a different thing that was involved, that Aaron will not be able to enter into the most holy place except it comes with blood. Leviticus chapter 16 verse 2. Leviticus chapter 16 verse, okay, let's see verse 1 and 2. Leviticus 16, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died, yes? And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Why did God tell Aaron not to come every time? He said so that he will not what? He won't die. Why did God say, what will kill him? Eh? What will kill him? It's the glory. But not just the glory. It's the uncovered glory. Now, I want to show that even Moses, in his level of, as often as Moses could enter into the most holy place, Moses didn't even encounter the uncovered glory of God. Amen. Exodus chapter 33. Just follow gently. Let's look at it. Exodus 33, 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, what? What? As a man speaketh unto his friend. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now you will think that when the Lord says the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, you will think that it meant that Moses saw the face of the Lord. Which is not true. Let's look at chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. No, sorry, that's in 33. Let's just for verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I find grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou dwellest with us, so shall we be separated, I and the people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Look, what did God say in verse 20? What did God say in verse 20? And he said, thou cannot what? Thou cannot what? For there shall no man see me and what? Live. So even Moses did not have access to the uncovered glory of God. The same thing God told Moses, that if you see, you will die. That was the same thing God told Aaron. Don't come here every time. If you come here every time, you will die. Because you can come in the time when I'm uncovered. I will kill you. Amen. He said, you can't see my face. But the Bible said that Moses spoke with the Lord, what? Face to face. So meaning face to face is not the same thing as seeing his face. Amen. And so it was the same thing for Aaron. I'm just trying to show us why God told Aaron, don't come here every time. Now let's go back to that Leviticus chapter 16. That Leviticus chapter 16 verse that verse 2. He said, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times to the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear where? I will appear where? In the cloud upon the mercy seat. I will appear where? In the cloud. Go back to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, and look at how the Lord appeared to Moses. It was in Exodus 33 Moses prayed to see his glory. And now Moses said, "Show me your glory." God said, "You can't see my face." Meaning God is equating his glory with his face. And then he also equated his glory with himself. Because he said, "You cannot see me." Hallelujah. Now look at the Exodus chapter 34. Let's read from verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, He did two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest." Yep. "And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in what?" The Lord descended in what? How did the Lord say we appear in the oracle? And we appear what? In the... Even when the Lord came to Moses, he came in what? The cloud. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to show you is this. The experience that Moses was having on the mount was what God brought down into the oracle. Hallelujah. The only difference between Moses and Aaron was because at that time the Lord was building. And when there is building, that was why Moses could have, because God was communicating from him to Sinai. Why? Because God was leading the people through the wilderness. They were just going into, they are not coming to rest. So there were a lot of information and all manner of things that was supposed to come. So God, and mind you, that for 40 years, the pillar of cloud was permanent with Israel. So you know. And God will only come in that cloud. When they enter Canaan, did the cloud not go? It went. But God now created, he now said, once in a year, I will bring that experience. I won't just come. That cloud is like a covering. Hello? That cloud is what? It's just like a covering. God hid himself in that cloud. And so if God told Moses, "No man shall see my face and live," and God told Aaron, "Don't come every time into that place, because I'm going to come in the cloud." If that cloud is not there, and it is not God that will create the cloud, it is Aaron that will create the cloud. How? God told Aaron, take a golden censer, take fire from the altar in the holy place, put incense on it. It is the smoke of the incense will cover the mercy seat, then I will appear in thee. That will be your salvation. So, what Moses now? It means, now this is what I'm trying to bring out. Now, we said that the oracle is for God to meet with the people and for communion. Then it also means that if we want to say what is the place of the oracle, we say the place of the oracle is actually a place of face-to-face communion with God. Now I want to explain to you what that face-to-face is. Before we go there, let's look at Numbers chapter 12. God was angry. Let's look at Numbers 12. Numbers chapter 12. From verse 1. Don't mind me. You know this is a teaching, so we need to read scriptures. "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman," yes? "And they said, Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord had it," yes? "And now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth," yes? "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud." Can you see that again? You see that he's always coming in the pillar of the cloud. They didn't really not see his plain glory. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam and the book people. Now, when God wanted to involve two other people in the communication, where did he come to? The door. Now, he didn't take the two of them today. He came out. He said, come. Let's come and talk here. This is where you belong. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron, and they both came forth here. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. And will speak unto him in a dream. Yes? My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all mine house, yes? With him will I do what? Speak mouth to what? Mouth. Even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, it's okay. Now, here you see God saying it again. He said, I speak with my servant Moses, what? Mouth to mouth. I want to explain to us, when God said that, I speak to Moses, that the Lord speaks to Moses, face to face. Now, we have seen that face to face does not mean that he saw his face. Hello, do we agree to that? He didn't see his face. God told him, no man can see my face and live. You can't take it. You can't take it. Even in the angelic realm, it's called that not even all of them behold his glory. The Bible said the seraphims cover their faces with their wings. Amen. And then it's only the cherubim. And we know that even the cherubim that behold his glory is still in a contained dimension. Because if the cherubim had access to the fullness of God's glory, then in the world to come, where God will fully unleash his glory, the angels, those cherubims will have charge. But God said, no, they are not in charge. It is men that will be in charge of the world to come. So even they are not accommodating God in the fullness of his glory. He said, where will I? He said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. He said, where the house shall be built unto me? Where is the place of my rest? That heaven cannot even contain me. I'm managing the place. Do you understand? It's like moving our property in this church now. I'm moving it to my house. You're going to cause problem. We won't be able to walk. We'll just be, because they are actually, in fact, the whole thing is they can't even enter my apartment. So it's like God condescend is about to humble himself to dwell in the heavens. Hallelujah. So now, going back to what was, he said, with him I speak mouth to mouth. I like this. I like this bracket. Amplified, the author, the writer is beautiful. He's wise. He said, with him I speak mouth to mouth directly. That's the first point. So when God says that I speak with Moses face to face, God says I have direct communication with Moses. But that communication is not elsewhere. It's where? It's in the oracle. And that was the same thing that Aaron has access to once in a year. Meaning that one of the things that happens in the oracle is that there is direct communication with God. What does direct communication mean? I think I wrote, let me check, I think I penned down something. Now, sir. Okay, with him I speak mouth to mouth directly. Yes, he said clearly and not in dark speeches, and it behold the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, I'm trying to explain, we are still talking about the oracle. Last week, we said the oracle is where God meets and commune with the people. Today, we're only trying to take it a little bit further and explain. And open a little bit, what is that level of communion? And now, Moses had a face-to-face communication with God. And I said that communication did not actually start in the oracle. It started on Mount Sinai. I mean, that level of communication started on Mount Sinai. When God brought Moses to Mount Sinai, and, you know, he saw many other things. But that experience of Mount Sinai will not always be here. God brought that experience down. Because the temple was supposed to be God's dwelling place. That's why he said they should build it. He said, build me a sanctuary that I may what? Dwell amongst them. So it's supposed to live there.
That is the purpose. So there must be a place where there can be an interface with God and men directly. Amen. So I wrote something. I said direct. Now, I was trying to check the meaning of direct. It has many. Now, I saw two that interest me. It says, happening or done without involving other people. Actions in between. When you say you have a direct communication, it means there is no other person. There is no medium. There is no intermediary. So when Moses or Aaron is on the Day of Atonement, when Aaron is in the oracle, it is Aaron and God. It is a direct line of communication. There is no medium. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is no medium. So even the priest himself only has, how do I put it? Now you describe that when you really get to the oracle, the whole essence of priesthood at that time is not necessary, because priesthood is an intermediary thing. But when the high priest is in the oracle, is standing before God, he has a direct communication. That was what Moses was enjoying. And I'm sure it is not just Moses, because that same experience was what God packaged in the oracle. Hello? So meaning that the oracle is a place of direct communication with God, no intermediary, no go-between, no mediator, nothing. When the high priest is there, he's talking with God. So when God said, I speak to Moses face to face, God says, I don't send prophet to Moses. I don't send people to Moses. When I want to talk to Moses, I call Moses, we talk. Hallelujah. And then the second meaning of direct that I saw that also interests me, it means saying exactly what you mean in a way that nobody can pretend not to understand. When you say somebody is too direct, what does it mean? Say this guy doesn't, he's too plain. He doesn't beat about the bush. And you know, since the day we met, I just don't know. I just describe that I just like to be around you. You know, and sometimes, you know, I just like your kind of person. I just like story. I love you. You don't get that kind of, how many ladies you won't like that kind of a thing? What's me of that? Just beat around the bush now. What's you are too direct. Some people are just too direct. Is it diplomatic or what? God says, look at it. He's here. He said clearly and not in what? Dark speeches. God said, if there's a prophet among you, I will come to him in dreams and visions. Most times dreams and visions are in parables. And that is why most of us have problems with our dreams. You be like that sister that saw Brother Joshua in dream with a baby in between. That say, okay, so God has shown me that Brother Joshua is the person to marry. You don't get it. It was Pastor Shalu that showed us, told us of that dream. There's a Brother Joshua, like we have Brother Joshua in church here. Eh? You can imagine sister say, yeah, having a dream, seeing Brother Joshua on the same bed with her and a baby in between. That's problem. And when Pastor Ashali interpreted the dream, I said, hey, Joshua is Jesus. The Lord was telling, come closer to me. So that, because he has an evangelistic calling. Evangelism is to produce babies. So when you come into closer union with the Lord Jesus, you will be able to bear fruit according to your... Can you imagine? God, why now? That's a very... I know the Holy Ghost knows that you will meet an interpreter. That's why they allow that kind of dream to come. Imagine that. God said, I don't deal with Moses like that. I talk plain.
face to face. God says, I don't use ambiguity when I'm talking to Moses. How many of you are talking with your friends and then when you are not, what's the name of that, for the one-time senator, that used to confuse everybody with? Hallelujah. That, let me not abuse him. Amen. Now, I'm trying to open to us what the oracle stands for. So you can see now that the oracle stands for direct flow of communication with God. Now, in the oracle, it is not ask and wait for answer. The answer is right before you. So when Moses asks an issue, he goes to God. God, there is a man. He has only daughters. He doesn't have sons. They have inheritance. What do we do? Right there, God will say, okay, this is what they shall do. Let them have inheritance. It is not send proposal and wait for response. Hello? It's with the answer before him. We are talking about the dimension of the oracle. It talks about a place of direct communication where there is access. And then we are saying that the second part of it, he says that I do not speak to him. He said, with him I speak face to face, clearly and not in what? Riddles. Clearly and not in what? Listen, even the prophets, God related with the prophets on riddles and parables. Do you not agree with me? Just imagine. Isaiah was prophesying. A virgin shall conceive. What is this virgin? Is there? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Take it a little backward. Okay, we can take from it. Of which salvation? No, let's look at from 9. Let's look at 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, yes? Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? Look at it. Setting what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, yes? Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but, no, take it back. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look what? Can you connect this last statement? Remember the two cherubims in the oracle? Where were they looking? They were looking towards the what? Towards the mercy seat. They are trying to have a gaze. All of those things are realities in the spirit. So when God told Moses, let the cherubim look towards the mercy seat, he's talking about the salvation that is to come. And that is what those angels are trying to have a peep into. Of course, we know that it is not for them. Now, I brought those there. The Bible said that those prophets, they made inquiry. They searched diligently. What is this thing? Does this thing pertain? Who is God talking about? Who is the virgin? What is this one? God dealt them with them in parables, serious parables. In fact, it will surprise you that even Adam was a parable. Is the tree of life a physical tree? Is it a physical tree? Is that a reality? Is there any physical tree we are going to eat now? Hello? Down now. I'm talking of the one that was in the Garden of Eden. No, what I'm saying in essence is that in the Garden of Eden, God put a physical tree there for Adam to eat. But now, the Bible says the life is in the Son of God. Meaning that the tree of life that was there, God was actually speaking of a reality that is to come. All of those things are still riddles that we have to explain. So
what we are saying in essence is that when you are talking about the oracle, you are actually talking about the place of plainness.
When God talks and God communicates, not that we go and try to find understanding of. That is why it is people that are from the oracle that can veil. See, Moses was not confused about the law. It was the children of Israel that he veiled. Moses was coming from the oracle. The Bible said that he put a veil so that the children of Israel could not look to the end of that glory. Did Moses not know the end of the glory? In fact, when the real person came, they gave him permission to come and have chat with him. It was only Moses and Elijah that met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, a prophet like unto me will arise. You think that guy didn't know? He has seen stuff there. There are things that God has communicated. God said, I don't speak to Moses in dark speeches. And so when Aaron is actually in the oracle at the Day of Atonement, I'm telling us that what Moses was enjoying, that was the same thing. That was what the oracle was meant for. That Aaron might have a direct communication with God on behalf of Israel, and then God can with clarity communicate his mind to him so that he can go back to Israel and really teach them.
Hallelujah.
And now you know that, so in the oracle, it's not just a place of prayer, it's also a place of questions. You can have answers to questions. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, but we saw that, so as it was in the Old Testament, that we saw that the oracle was premised on the testimony and the atonement. All of this thing we are talking about, God told Moses, you have found grace in my sight. He was able to relate with God on that basis. But when God came to the nation as a people, he said, it's not going to work that way. It's going to work, this is what you are going to do. You are going to have to, you know, offer blood, bring blood, sprinkle, and all that. And then on the basis of the atonement, God says is going to appear. And when God appears, that is when all the experiences we are talking about, having a direct communication with God, being able to speak to God without intermediary and without a medium, and then being able to hear God clearly, and plainly, without parables and without riddles. And that is where the place for the atonement comes in. And so, even for us, how do I put it? Okay, let's look. I want to just talk briefly about the atonement. Then we are going to see. I don't know if we can. I think I said something about the atonement last week. So the atonement had to come in. Now let's look at. I have a number of scriptures on my mind. I don't know which one is going to best to serve that purpose. Okay, let's look at Hebrews. Atonement means to reconcile. And you know, we said the message seat is actually the atonement cover. It means the atonement cover is the lid of the Ark of the Testament. Atonement means to reconcile. Then it means to be at one. Meaning that there is to be in concord. To be in agreement that there is no more enmity and all those things, it will interest you that the same thing that in Leviticus 16 talks about the Day of Atonement. We don't have time. I would have loved if we read that whole chapter, but you see how the atonement was done, and that is the same thing that the author of Hebrews tells us. If you where do we take it from?
let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always in the first tabernacle accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, when the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, and for the errors of the people, the Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while at the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Let's go to verse 11. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by great and more, you see, he became a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Do you see that? Having obtained for what? Eternal redemption. Let's go to verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, as he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's take it from verse 10. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is the witness to us, for after that it hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What verse 19 tells us is that now we have what? Now we have what? Having therefore what? Boldness to what? Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What is the holiest? What is the holiest? The holiest is what? Is your record. That means that now we can have access to enjoy direct communication with God. Now we can have access to come to a place of plainness of speech with God. Why? Because Christ has already made an atonement for us. Hallelujah. We could not still access the oracle without the atonement. I don't want to take us through that book of Hebrews. There are a lot of things we need to really look there, but we'll not be able to. But I want us to be careful of something. The Bible says we have boldness to enter. It didn't say we have entrance. We misplaced boldness to enter and entrance as the same. Hello? If we have entered, it won't tell us to draw. What is the instruction given to us in verse 20? What? Verse, what is that? 22. What does verse 22 say? Is that what we should do? What? You don't draw near into where you are. Hello? I'm not saying that we are not there. He says, having therefore what? Boldness to enter. Boldness to enter. Now, there's a difference between you have access and you have gained access. When you have access, it means the door has been opened for you to do what? To come. He said, I'm giving you access. Access, giving you access means what? You can go. But that does not mean you have gone. I can give you access and yet you will not enter. Hallelujah. When you look at even the places where the Bible talks about access,
Now, and when you truly look into the scripture, when you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, he was talking about our calling. Somewhere now he said, if you do this thing, he said, so an entrance will be ministered to you. But that is not even, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Now, why is the Bible saying that an entrance shall be ministered? And also the Bible said that we have boldness to enter. But let's still leave that aside. Hello? I want to show us something let's go to John chapter 16. I have to begin to plan to round up now. John chapter 16. I hope I've been a bit clear. I hope I didn't confuse people. John chapter 16. Look at what Jesus said in verse 25. John 16, 25. He said, these things have I spoken unto you in what? These things have I done? I spoken to you in what? But the time cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in what? In Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of what? What is Jesus talking about here? Now, let's look at verse 26. Look at this. He said, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. What does that mean? He said, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Meaning that I'm not even going to stand as a medium anymore. Hello? What does that mean? He said, I do not say that I will pray the Father for you. I'm not going to be the one to pray the Father for you. He said, you will ask in my name, and the Father will do it. Is this not the oracle? Is it not in the oracle that we say that there is no medium? Why? Because there is what? There's a direct communication with God. Today, do we have that? Do we have that today? Do we have that today? Hallelujah. I think we have. I think we what? We have. Mind you that as at the time Jesus was talking here, Lord Femi, I'm with you. We are together. Hallelujah. He said, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray what? The Father for you. Now, you know, we said something about prayer when we're talking about the oracle. We talked about direct what? Communication. That there is no medium. Now, Christ was telling them, he said, right now today I'm only speaking to you what? In Proverbs. Meaning my interaction with you is not from the oracle. All the things I'm speaking to you, I'm veiling them for you so that you will not understand them, because that is the dispensation that is now. He said, but the time is going to come that I will no more speak to you in parable. I will show you plainly of the Father. So even Jesus was telling the disciples that there is an experience of the oracle that I am going to bring you into. Hallelujah. And now we know that the Bible said that having therefore boldness to enter into what? Into the holiest of all. Meaning that now we can stand and we can ask in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm not the one that I'm saying I'm going to pray for you. He said, but you will ask in my name, and my Father will what? He will do it. And what we have. I think it's not confusing. So we know that now we have access. And I remember I said it when I began to, I think maybe it was the first session I took, that it's not a matter of we having access again, it's a matter of we using the access that are what? Have been given to us. That it's not that we are trying to procure access. Christ procured it for us. The Bible says that he through his, having become a high priest, he obtained eternal what? redemption. What does it mean by eternal redemption? Meaning that you don't, it can last forever. It is not 1 year dose. Hello? The redemption that Aaron gives or the high priest gives to Israel is a 1 year what? 1 year dose. It will expire after 1 year. If they don't come after 1 year, they're in trouble. Do you understand? So they have to be coming every year. But when Jesus entered into the presence of God, he obtained an eternal redemption once for all. The Bible says he perfected forever. They that are sanctified. It is interesting to know. You know, they told us that seven signifies what? Perfection. Aaron sprinkles the blood seven times in the most holy place. He does that what? Seven, he takes, put his finger on the blood and sprinkles it on the mercy seat seven times, which was a figure of the perfection that Christ was going to procure, not through the blood of another, but through what? His own blood. So it's not a matter of, so if there is anything that is very, very important to me now, is that I must be solid in my faith in that which Christ has done. Don't ever doubt the fact that you have, Christ has God for you and atonement. Now I have boldness. Now I have boldness to come. Now I can come, I can come into the presence of God, I can pray. But you discover that even in reality, it doesn't look like it. How many of you can boldly speak of these experiences? How many prayers have you prayed that have not been answered? Because we don't know his will. John says that we know whatsoever we ask in answer. Why? Because we pray according to what? His will. Then we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. We don't even know how to give him pleasure. You don't know how to do what? You know, incense is prayer. It's pleasure. It's his will. All of these things teach us how to come. Now in that Hebrews 10, you see they said our, it says that our, we should look, give up verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our what? Bodies washed with what? Pure water. When Aaron is entering to the oracle, they tell him to bathe his flesh in water. All of those things are symbols of realities in the New Testament.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.